Welcome to Passion and Purpose, a podcast with Jimmy Seibert and the Antioch Movement. Whether this is your first time with us or you've been with us for a while now, our desire is that by the end of our time together, you can say that you've fallen more in love with Jesus and have a greater passion for Him and His purposes in the earth. Thanks so much for joining us. We hope that you enjoy today's episode.
All right, welcome to the Passion and Purpose podcast, everyone. My name is Zach. I'm flying solo today. Jimmy, my normal partner on this podcast, he is in Eastern Europe. We've actually been there together at a retreat for our church planters working around the world. It was a remarkable time just getting to be with everyone, to seek the Lord, and to hear testimonies of what God is doing in the nations. Hopefully, we'll be able to share some of those testimonies on the episodes to come. But I'm flying solo today, and I want to talk with you about a really important topic that I think we often overlook, and it is the power of friendship and how God often uses friendship in our lives, not just to bless us, but through those friendships to produce remarkable fruit. He uses friendship to produce remarkable fruit. We're in a discussion here in the media room this morning as we record this of an internet legend that supposedly an ox on their own can pull 5,000 pounds. But if you pair an ox with another ox, if you partner them together, that they're not able just to pull 10,000 pounds, not able just to pull double, but really through their partnership, they're able to pull 15,000 pounds. That the power that comes out of the right partnerships is not linear, but it's exponential in power. I think that's such a great picture of what God does is He brings us into relationships with one another. And the impact of those relationships is not just 1 + 1 = 2. It's not just a small gain, but that God brings fruit out of us is a multiplied effect. And I want to talk with you about that. And I want to give you the question or the thing to consider out of this podcast is who are the friends that God has called you to? And what does God want to do through your community? Not just through you as an individual, but through you as a community. What does God want to do? And we're going to do this by looking at a passage of scripture together in 2 Corinthians, looking at a story from church history, and then also want to tell you a story from my own personal life of trying to live this out. So the passage from scripture is 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Now, when I went to Troas, this is Paul talking, and he's writing the church at Corinth. He's talking about a missionary trip that he went on. When I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, I found that the Lord had opened a door for me. I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia. I was in a prayer meeting a few weeks ago where a friend shared this passage of scripture with the note that says, "The door opened without family isn't worth it." It's a powerful thought. I've been thinking about this for several weeks, been meditating on this passage of scripture since then, and I wanted to share it with you today. So let's just review it. So Paul is on mission with Jesus. He's going into Troas to preach the gospel. He says that he found that the Lord had opened a door for him there. And what that means in Paul's vernacular is that people were being saved, healed, delivered, churches were being planted. This was a powerful time of ministry. And yet, even though there was an open door that God had opened, it said that Paul didn't have peace of mind, that there was something that was off to him. Even though he's an open door, it was like, man, this is not the fullness of what the Lord has for me. He said, I had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and I went on to Macedonia. And I don't know about you, but I often think of Paul as kind of being the lone missionary figure, man of God, out on the fringes, bringing the gospel. But what this passage lets us into is that Paul really looked for those relationships, that spiritual family, that sense of partnership. And he knew a kingdom secret is that God wants to place us in family. He wants to place us in spiritual family. He wants to provide friends for us. And through those friendships, through those partnerships, so often is where God brings exponential fruit. And it's where we experience the peace of mind that allows us to go through the open doors that God has for us in sustainable, faithful, and fruitful ways. One group, when I think about this passage of scripture that I think about, is a group called the Clapham Sect that lived in South London in the 1800s. The most famous member of their group is named William Wilberforce. But basically, this was a group of young people who loved Jesus, they loved one another, and they had a sense of God's calling on their life to impact the world around them. They knew the challenges that were in front of them, and they knew to faithfully withstand the challenges, the pressures, and the temptations that would come with their calling, that they were going to need a really solid, healthy community to be a part of. They knew they were going to need to be tied and tethered together. And so they all moved in to the same neighborhood in South London called Clapham. They were all part of the same church. And even though people in the group had diverse giftings, backgrounds, experiences, talents, and a sense of individual calling, they realized that God had a calling on them together as a group. So they committed to each other and committed to share life together, to live in community, and to practice the way of Jesus together. Through those relationships, they strengthened one another in their calling and solidified one another against the drift that comes over time with temptation. Here are some of the people that were a part. There were businessmen, politicians, teachers, pastors, writers, government officials, and bankers. Together, they had a sense of calling to see the slave trade abolished in their nation, to see prisons reformed, to see school systems changed, and to take the gospel to the nations. They wanted to see the gospel of Jesus go forward. Again, most famous member of their group, William Wilberforce, God used him in Parliament to bring about, from a legislative end, the end of the slave trade in Great Britain. But he was by no means alone. And really, his strength to persevere in Parliament, he could attribute to the community that he was a part of. And God used another woman who was a part of their community named Hannah Moore. She was a teacher, and she was a gifted writer. She was gifted in the arts. And God used her to write a poem that God published and circulated around Britain that turned the hearts of the people against the slave trade. So while Wilberforce was working in Parliament, fighting from a legislative end, God was using the arts to change the hearts of the people, and through them together brought an end to the slave trade through their partnership. This happened, this type of partnering together happened in different areas of reform and also happened in different areas of taking the gospel to the nations. Out of their relationships, they saw their children end up marrying different ones in the community. And the work that God did in them was not just for the initial generation, but lasted two and three generations out of those relationships, out of the spiritual family that God built in their midst. I think that's such a beautiful illustration of that principle we see in the life of Paul, of the power of those partnerships. And again, I share that with you today to give you the question, who is your Clapham sect? Who are the people? Who's your Titus? Who are the brothers and sisters that God's called you to partner with? And what does God want to do, not just in you or through you as an individual, but how does God want to work in y'all together? And what does he want to do through y'all that I believe might be greater or more significant or wider ranging impact than what might be possible just on your own. This took me back to a story in my own life. I think this verse has been significant for my wife and myself and our journey in the Lord. That's included college ministry, overseas missions, and church planting, and then leading a church here in the States. And I remember in our early 20s, we were gripped by this type of vision and the stories like the Clapham sect. And we decided with a group of friends, people that we had invested in, to all move into an apartment complex together. And girls rented different apartment units and guys rented different apartment units. And my wife and I, we were the only married couple in that friend group. But we all moved into a particular apartment complex, and we committed to seek the Lord together, to break bread in one another's apartments and to share life together, to rejoice with one another and to weep with one another and to share the gospel with other apartment complex members and in our spheres of influence. And that was such a powerful time. And imagine if you're listening to this, you might have been a part of a similar type of community. And there in that community, it was just amazing. And there were highs and there were definitely lows and everything in between. It was by no means perfect, but the grace of God was there. And this last week, I was with a friend who was a part of that group. And it's now 20 years later. And we were reminiscing about all that God has done through the individuals that were in that group and through our relationships together. Such sweet, sweet memories. I'm so thankful for the times in our lives where God brings us or assembles, coalesces to communities like that. As Christine and I have made different life decisions, that's been one of the main things that we have considered is not just what's the open door that God has for us as an individual, but who are the people that God's called us to be a part of? Who are the people that God's called us to partner together? And what does that look like? That's actually led for us to make significant life decisions, major moves, not just about the open door in front of us, but about who are we partnering with to go through that open door? And that's my question for you today to consider. What does it look like and who are the people that God's called you to partner with in that way? Who's your Titus? Who's your Clapham sect? Who's that church community, that spiritual community that you're called to be more than just, yeah, we go to the same church, but really God's building you into a spiritual family. And what does God want to do, not just through you, your own individual sense of assignment in the Lord, but what does God want to do through y'all together? So I'm going to leave you with those thoughts. Next week, we'll be back with Jimmy for our next episode of Passion and Purpose. Love you guys and look forward to seeing you in the comments.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of Passion and Purpose, a podcast with Jimmy Seibert and the Antioch Movement. For more information, please visit jimmyseibert.com and antioch.org. We'll see you next time.